So welcome back once again. Today we're talking about the blockchain. It's me and Peter are still at it. If you can tell we're wearing the same clothes, that's because we recorded this thing the same week. let me see.
Hey everyone.
Mm-hmm. So today we talking about the technology which Bitcoin is based on. And that would be the blockchain.
That's right. Uh-huh. Just to define it for everyone out there, what is a blockchain? So blockchain is a distributed ledger, and if those words are too much, then we can maybe think of the blockchain as just a database.
Mm-hmm.
But what makes it different than every other stores of information is that this database is actually distributed all over the place. So it doesn't belong in one data center.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone that uses it has a copy. And they get synchronized, and according to certain consensus algorithms, everyone agrees to what the current state of this data store is.
Yeah.
So that in a nutshell is what a blockchain is.
Mm-hmm. So basically, from what I've heard about the blockchain, it was trying to move away from the normal bank's ledger and then implement, as you're saying, the distributed ledger, where everyone has a copy of what's happening or financially with all the transactions. Everyone can see all the transactions and such.
Yeah, so that's right.
Mm-hmm.
So the purpose for the blockchain is actually to enforce this decentralization, where you take away the requirement for people to trust a single party. So let's speak about the bank's example. And we have transactions going to and fro between banks. So let's say there's four banks and they want to transact. Previously, they needed a central party to handle all of the transactions between the banks so that everyone agrees to what the amount is, what the history is, to have this audit log of everything that's happened. But if these banks are on a blockchain, they can all have a copy of this database. Everyone can know what the transactions are,
mm-hmm.
And everyone can write to this blockchain and transact in that manner without there being a central party,
mm-hmm.
Like a bank switch in the middle. Blockchains are immutable, so you can't change anything in the data.
Mm-hmm.
They're cryptographically secured, so everything's encrypted. And the hashing algorithms basically make sure that you know when someone fiddles with the data or try to change or manipulate anything on the blockchain.
Mm-hmm.
And this then creates transparency. So everyone has a copy of the same database. Everyone knows what everyone is doing.
Mm-hmm.
And it stops individuals from hijacking data or manipulating data. Forcing them to be transparent.
Oh, okay. One thing then I have always wondered with regards to a blockchain is then how does one determine the the trust of a new participant? Like if I want to join a blockchain, you know?
Okay.
In the case of banks. So let's say Absa, FNB and Standard Bank have their blockchain set up, and then now Capitec wants to say, yo guys, I want to join your blockchain.
Okay.
How do they trust his identity, or how do they let him into?
Okay, so before I can answer that question, I have to define two different kinds of blockchain technology. So the one is a public blockchain or autonomously governed, or even called permissionless.
Mm-hmm.
So in this blockchain, anyone can join.
Okay.
And anyone can participate on the blockchain and transact on the blockchain.
So cryptocurrencies like that?
Like Bitcoin, mm-hmm. and all of those. These are permissionless blockchains.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not governed by anyone, and they're self-governed, basically. No one can stop anyone from joining the blockchain. Then you get other kinds of blockchains called permission blockchains.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is a special case, and it's more relevant to the business world and even banks, where they want to control who's on the network and who participates according to a specific set of rules. Now, some people argue that this is not really a blockchain because there's some central control for people coming onto the network. But even after a party has been identified and verified and vetted, at least after the case, you know, everything is distributed and transparent, as you would want for a blockchain. So there's still advantages, but two very different cases. So permissionless, anyone can participate. Permissioned, controlled by one party that does the verification.
Okay. Oh, no. That I did not know at all. So, I learned something. And now, one thing I'd like to know is, I know a lot of money is being put into the blockchain space, in the investor world. And everyone is looking for new applications to then use a blockchain for. So what are your thoughts on all that's happening with regards to that?
No, that's very, very true and almost understated.
Mm-hmm.
Blockchain is a massive new buzzword in the information and financial industries. And I think soon to be all over the place, even legal industries and governance, you know, entire governments is looking at blockchain technology to handle governance structures. Estonia, for example, are running a program where they allow people to register companies on a blockchain.
Mm-hmm.
So that's also an interesting one, but extremely wide applications running worldwide at the moment, and a lot of money behind it. All of the banks are investigating blockchain.
Mm-hmm.
All of the first world countries, how to apply it, and then a lot of industries. All of the big IT companies have blockchain specific programs, you know, Microsoft, IBM, Intel, all of them are really going after the blockchain technology. So I think that's a really good thing to put in your CV. It's almost like AI was a few years back.
A weird thing happened to a friend. He said he posted an article about the blockchain on LinkedIn, and he got 3 job offers on the same day. And
well, there you go.
He had never gotten a job offer off LinkedIn before. So yeah, and, guys, if you are looking to make a career switch, this is the time and this is the topic to go into. But one thing with regards to the applications that I always had at the back of my mind, or I always look at, is disruption, obviously, is one of them. And the case where there was a central authority like a bank or insurance company, as you were saying about the smart contract. Now, could new applications that never really existed, like a totally new space of thinking, come out of blockchain technology, or do you foresee anything like that?
Definitely. And disruptive is the right word. I think blockchain technology is going to disrupt a lot of industries in the world. But the key thing that I think you're referring to here is that over and above the innovation that can happen today in all of the industries out there, in finance and legal, even new innovations are now possible because of this distributed technology.
Mm-hmm.
So what blockchain opens up is the ability for companies to basically transact together in an open and trustless manner. And I think that's going to open up so many opportunities to run things differently than what it used to be. So some people are saying it's going to replace most of the services on the internet. It's going to change how everything works. Even huge businesses like Uber,
mm-hmm.
Could be run decentralized. In fact, there's already a decentralized version of it out there.
Mm-hmm.
They're just not that popular at the moment, but you don't need a server or a central body
mm-hmm.
to control those services, and they can be run completely decentralized. So I think, yes, disruption is imminent,
mm-hmm.
And not only in the finance industry, it's hitting that first.
Mm-hmm.
But all over the place, anything in information technology, watch out, blockchain is going to change a lot of that.
Oh, and also internet. I remember you once told me about the interplanetary file system.
That's right.
Was that based off the blockchain?
No, not really. But the reason why it's so many times used in the same sentence is because in blockchain, there's a lot of overhead to maintain the blockchain, to make sure that all the data is coherent and that everyone agrees that this is the blockchain. So running those consensus algorithms takes a lot of effort and is expensive. And it's almost always more expensive than a centralized service to maintain a blockchain. So blockchains can't grow indefinitely.
Yeah.
And if you think about centralized data stores that go into the terabytes, and you don't want terabytes on a blockchain, it's going to be impossible to manage. So that's where external decentralized file systems come to play. There are quite a few out there already, and they're based on different technologies. But what basically happens is the distributed applications that utilize the blockchain use these file systems to store big files, documents, or images, and don't actually store them on the blockchain. So the basic technology is just to create a hash of these files so that you have a very specific code that you store on the blockchain that identifies that file. But that is then a very unique link. So if someone changes the file, if it's a different file, that hash will change. So the blockchain actually only controls the ID and the verification and the assurance that this is the correct file, while the actual file is stored off the blockchain. Mm. And I think that's where these distributed file systems really play a role.
Mm. No. That's a mouthful. I'm about to go do my research now and just freshen up my knowledge on most of what was said today. But anyway, thank you very much for coming through and sharing the knowledge with us.
All right, my pleasure.
Yeah, if you have a Twitter account, a Facebook account, a LinkedIn account, this is the time to plug.
No, we don't. Oh, it's impossible to find on the internet.
Oh, okay. So, if anyone is a stalker out there and they want to test their skill, this is the day. This is the day. Thank you very much for coming through.
Cheers.
And I don't know if we forgot anything about the blockchain.
I can speak for hours on the topic,
mm-hmm.
but we have to stop the tape somewhere.
Sharp then. Ladies and gentlemen, that was it on what does it take to do blockchain business. This was the weirdest episode for me to title. What does it take to blockchain? That's what it is. But yeah, thank you very much for listening. Come back next week for another topic. I think we're going to be talking about business or something like that. So yeah, sharp.